You're listening to On Point with Perry Solkowski and Randy Janda on Sportsnet 650.
To Toronto. We will do that. Raptors open up tomorrow against Washington. It could be a long run of basketball. And to discuss that, we go to Sportsnet's Donovan Bennett, who joins us now. Donovan, how are you?
I'm great. The playoffs are here. It's a great time of year.
It is. Playoffs for everything. I know it's Leaf Country, too, and you guys will focus on that. But it's all about basketball, and you're the basketball guy. Is there as much excitement? What is the mood there as people get set for the Raptors?
Yeah, I think it's equal parts excitement and anxiety, if that makes sense. A lot of anxious nerves around what the playoffs are going to be like for this team and what game one is going to be like for this team, because we know they've struggled in game ones a year ago. And I think this year, style points are going to matter. Only winning convincingly as a higher seed. Last year, they struggled against Milwaukee in the first round. They took them to six games. So I think Raptors fans are cautiously waiting to see what this team is going to look like. The team they were in the regular season or the team they've been in the previous postseasons.
Donovan, some fan bases like the Lakers, you know, they're really comfortable being the top dog. Are the Raptors there yet?
No question. I mean, I think the team is there. DeMar DeRozan talks about the fact that the team's got a lot of swag going into this playoffs. But as a fan base, as a nation of cheering a basketball team, I don't think so. Speaking for Torontonians, we definitely are people from a big city that still have a chip on our shoulder, have a bit of an inferiority complex. What is the American media saying about us? What times are our games going to be scheduled? Are our games going to be on NBA TV in the States, even though in Canada we're going to be watching them on Sportsnet 1? And there's always a boogeyman around the corner when it comes to Toronto sports fans, whether it's the Leafs and the falling apart in the playoffs like they did against the Bruins, or the Raptors and having struggles in the playoffs, or having our best players leave us and play for teams in the United States. There's always some sort of issue. So no, the fans don't feel like they're number one seed at all. They feel like they're disrespected.
Man, you Toronto guys are already 60 minutes and the Leafs are done falling apart. Will that be the thing for the Raptors if they struggle out of the gate, considering their playoff history? They have to prove not only are they better and deeper, but Donovan, they have to prove they're mentally tougher, don't they?
Yeah, there's no question. And especially when the seeds came out and you saw, oh boy, the Cleveland Cavaliers potentially are standing there waiting for you in the second round, not the Eastern Conference Finals. And I think for the team collectively, not just the fan base, they should be thinking just about them and doing what got them here. There's a reason why they have the best record throughout the regular season, the second best record in the league, the second best net rating in the league. There's a reason why they're the only team who's top five in offense and defense. And there's a reason why they went through hard work in the offseason to reset their culture so that at this time of year, they could find new success. And I think if they stick to the things that got them there, they will be successful. But that's a lot easier said than done when you've got Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, not just playing for advancement in the playoffs, but let's be honest, playing for their legacy. Because when you think of those guys, even with the accolades that they've had, the all-star appearances, the all-NBAs, you think about them struggling mightily in the playoffs.
You listen to On Point. We're joined by Sportsnet's Donovan Bennett and, I should say, co-host of Free Association Sportsnet's NBA podcast. Donovan, when you look at the Wizards, is there anything that worries about you about this team? When you look at, they are currently an 8 seed. They haven't had a very, I guess in the big scheme of things of what they're used to, a successful season. But is there anything that worries you about this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people would bring up the fact that, you know, the Wizards swept the Raptors a couple years ago. The teams are so different, especially the Raptors. Most of their players weren't around for that series. A good bulk of the players weren't in the league when that series happened. So that doesn't concern me. What does concern me is the NBA, especially in the playoffs, is about stars and star calls and stars playing more minutes than they normally do and being able to impact the game and win games more so than they can in the regular season. And one thing the Wizards certainly do have are stars. Wall and Beal are arguably the best backcourt in the East, not from Toronto with DeMar and Kyle. And so those guys' ability to dictate the pace of play offensively is something that would concern me. The Raptors have a huge edge as far as the bigs with Jonas and with Serge and with Pearl. And I'll even throw Bebe in there in comparison to Marcin Gortat as a starter and behind him, Ion Mahimi and Mike Scott. But what the Wizards do have is a lot of wing players. And that's the way the game is going. Guys from 6'5 to 6'8, 6'9. He can shoot the ball, play multiple positions. And with the Porter Juniors and the Obrey Juniors and the Beals, they cause you a lot of problems when they decide to go small. And Dwayne Casey has had success going with small lineups, whether it's DeLon Wright on the floor, Fred VanVleet on the floor with his two All-Stars. The chess match will be real interesting between Dwayne Casey and Scott Brooks. Do you play big and try and match up if you're Washington, or will Dwayne Casey try and match up when Washington goes small? Those are the fascinating things that we'll see change, I think, from game to game throughout the series.
Could have been a positive, the fact that, you know, the Raptors were so good all year, but there were some struggles in the last few weeks. Does that help them go, okay, we can't be sailing through here? Yeah, we had some bad performances. Now it's time to turn it on starting Saturday.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because my co-host on Free Association, J.D. Bunkus, was complaining when they were on a win streak and blowing teams out and beat the Rockets. He said everything was too easy, which is such a cynical term. But I do think this entire year was about research and development. What lineup combinations work? What can guys do and what can't they do, and what should we not ask them to do? Getting comfortable doing different things for the future of this team, and when you're talking about the bench, these guys are going to be a part of the long-term future and the long-term solution. But also in the playoffs, let's use the regular season, because they knew they were going to be a playoff team. I don't think if you gave Masai's recent booster, he'd think he'd be this high as a seed, but they knew they were going to qualify. So knowing that, let's actually use the regular season as a test case to see what will work in the postseason. And they were able to learn and win at the same time. I think a lot of those learnings we'll see in the postseason, and that's why I think they're set up for real-time success.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the rest of the Eastern Conference. You mentioned the Cavs. I know there's a lot of skepticism when it comes to the Raptor fan base, as you said. You know, you could potentially see the Cavs in the second round. From what we've seen them, they are the fourth seed. Are they, in the big scheme of things, where do you rank them, though? Because the playoffs come around, this Cavs team can turn into a monster of a team. How do you handicap this Cavs team with LeBron James?
Well, unless you guys are going to tell me that you got a push alert while we were doing this interview, LeBron James is injured and not playing, I rank them number one. Because, I mean, he is the guy who really, more so than anyone aside from maybe Steph Curry, you know, is able to raise the level of players around him. He went to the finals with Anderson Varejão and Boobie Gibson as his main teammate. And he's age 33, 15th year in the league, and getting better, not getting worse. I mean, this year, he probably won't win MVP because the narrative has been with James Harden, but you can make an argument, statistically, this is the best year he's ever had. So no question, I think, the Cavs still have the conch, if you will. They're still the team to beat, unless otherwise proven. And he's been upfront and honest. He didn't care what seed they were. They didn't really make a hard push to catch Philly for third. He is comfortable that he can go into any building in the East for a Game 7 and win. And if we're being honest, he's comfortable that it's not going to come down to a Game 7. That if anything, he'll be able to handle business in four games with two on his floor, two on yours. And that's what happened when he played the Raptors a year ago. So no question, I think LeBron, the way he's playing, and also the way at times, he didn't play defense at all during this regular season, but he clearly was saving his energy because he knew over a two-month span he was going to have to exert a lot of it to will his team to get 16 wins and hoist the championship.
You're listening to On Point. We're chatting NBA playoffs with Sportsnet's Donovan Bennett. Donovan, we've been trusting the process for years now. The 76ers get the Miami Heat in the first round. How legit are the 76ers?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest development as far as trusting the process is since they are playing in Miami and they're going to go to South Beach and you're going to see a lot of celebrities show up late to the games, that this actually helps Joel Embiid in his pursuit for Rihanna in trusting that process, because he frequently goes to Miami Heat. And I think his health actually is a question mark, because the Heat are so big, whether it's Bam Adebayo or Justice Winslow paying big, or Hassan Whiteside when he's not fighting with his organization, you know, waking out of bed and getting a double-double easily. The Heat size, and it goes back to the teams that Pat Riley had with the Knicks, with Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley, or even if you go back to his Lakers teams with James Worthy and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he loves dominant bigs. And when he won in Miami the first time around, it was with Shaquille O'Neal. I think Joel Embiid, his you know, lack of ability to at least start this the series. We'll see if he comes back. Will play a big factor, but the pathway is there for them. They are on by far the softer side of the bracket. Something that we talk about in the NCAA, we're not used to talking about it in the NBA as much. But given the injuries that we've seen, especially to the team that's number two in Boston, who may not make it to the second round, I think that the sea is cleared for the young Sixers to make a run. And I say young kind of with an asterisk because, yeah, they are young, but, you know, getting Bellinelli late in the year, getting Ilyasova late in the year, having Redick signing him as a free agent, they're not actually as young as we think. Just those stars, the guys that we talk about, the Fultz's now that he's playing, those guys are young. They're young, but they're super talented.
Yeah, the map to the final representing the East will be interesting. It could go several ways. What do you see, Donovan, as far as who will come out of the West?
Well, I mean, how is Steph Curry's second grade MCL? Is it down to a one grade or half a grade or no grade? I think if he's healthy by the time the Warriors play the Rockets, then I think, you know, the Warriors are still the best team because, you know, not to talk like a stockbroker, but they have a diversified plateau of options to throw at you. They can beat you in so many ways. Well, you kind of know, getting off the bus, what the Rockets are going to do. They're going to kill you in isolation, and they're going to hope that, you know, the P.J. Tuckers of the world can clean up some of the defensive mistakes that James Harden is prone to making. I think the loss of Richard Mbute for the Rockets is key because he is, again, one of those defensive stoppers that you can throw in late in a game when you're up four and you need a couple stops, along with Trevor Ariza. So the health of those two teams, by the time they meet each other, Golden State and Houston, I think, is paramount. But if everything is equal and everyone is healthy, I still think the Warriors are the team to beat because they're four all-stars beating their two all-stars.
Donovan, before we let you go, we got to ask you a little bit about the MVP and the Rookie of the Year. Where are your votes going for both of those awards if you had a vote?
Well, I mean, I do think that James Harden had the best year and actually even defended better than LeBron because LeBron was basically negligent on defense for most of the year. And I do believe you should reward team success. That's basically how we've done it. Fair or not, people complain that Kobe only has one MVP and that Shaq didn't win it virtually every year for 10 years. But the formula has been give it to the guy who impacts winning on a team who wins big. And this year, that guy would be James Harden. So I would give it to him. Rookie of the Year is tough. I'm going to lean to Donovan Mitchell, and maybe I'm biased because of my own first name, but maybe I'm biased because I love the fact that he wore Adidas shirt throwing shade at Ben Simmons for not being a rookie. But Donovan Mitchell has been good for the entire year on a team that no one really expected to make the playoffs after Gordon Hayward left. And for being honest, Donovan Mitchell has been better than Gordon Hayward ever was in Utah. Ben Simmons has had a great stretch, and I didn't think the Sixers were going to continue to play at this level when Joel Embiid got hurt. But when Joel Embiid was healthy, he was the guy who stirred the drink for the 76ers. Ben Simmons was able to score points because of the attention that Joel Embiid got. And Joel Embiid is not as a complete player. He still hasn't attempted a three-point shot. I think for me, even though it's super close, Donovan Mitchell, but I'd love to take Brogdon's Rookie of the Year retroactively away from last year, hit the bench this year, and they both could be happy.
Hey, Donovan, you can tell you're jacked up. It's going to be an awful lot of fun. Enjoy the ride when it begins tomorrow.
Sportsnet 650.